This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Fishstripes Unfiltered, episode 17. We are close to episode 20. And as always, with Isaac Azut, my co-host. Isaac, how are you, man? 17 episodes in. We're a couple weeks into that major league season. Just won a four-game series against the Phils. They took three out of the four. How are you feeling, man? And how are you?
I'm doing great, man. It was nice to see them, you know, come back home and win three out of the four games. Like you said, they're actually 4-5 as we speak right now. With day off on Monday, the day we're recording this, April 18th. And I'm very excited for just everything we're going to talk about.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, as always, subscribe to YouTube and follow us wherever you may listen to the podcast. Give it a 5-star rating, leave a nice comment down below, and feedback as well so we can make these podcasts better, not only this one, but Fishstripes as a whole. So let's get into the season itself. The most impressive player so far in the season, I mean, for me, I would have to hear your response before, but I think it's Joey Wendell. The guy's been just incredible, just making offense happen. This guy made a nice double play the other day. He's been good, man. And I think my prediction of leading hits, I don't know if that's correct right now. Eli would know more. But I think that should be pretty close. Jesus Sanchez has also been really good. Jazz as well. So who is your most impressive player so far?
Yeah, Joey's been great. I think, you know, what an addition that has been for Cameron Meisner, who is not off to the best start in Tampa Bay. So that seems to be a good trade 10 games in, 9 games in for Miami. But to me, the most impressive guys have been, you mentioned it, Jazz and Jesus. You know, those two young bats have just been, you know, electrifying this offense, really. I think they've had such a big part in all four games that Miami has won. It's almost been single-handedly those two. You know, they're hitting for extra base hits. They're hitting for power. Jesus has hit a couple home runs, Jazz as well. And they've just played phenomenal baseball on defense and on offense. So I think those two are definitely the most impressive. And I think on the pitching side, you got to look at Pablo Lopez. Two great starts to start the season. Well, his other rotation mates haven't been as dominant. Pablo has looked really good so far.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Jesus going into a new position, center field. You thought it wasn't going to go well at all, but he's actually been challenged, you know, quite a lot. And he's done pretty well overall. I mean, he's been able to make the catches. He made a couple nice – I think he had a diving catch or it was a good track down. I mean, he's been good in Jazz. I mean, the defense has been good overall. I think it was the Anaheim series that he was okay. He was iffy a little bit. But besides that, I mean, Jazz has been probably the best player so far this season for the Marlins. If we had to choose a team MVP today, it would definitely be Jazz Chisholm. But I like what I'm seeing from both guys. And something interesting is these guys were both on the team last season. And you would assume that the new offensive additions in Soler and Abisael would be the big pieces, the big names of this team right now. But it hasn't been like that whatsoever. It's been the guys that we've known for a while, the young stars that they've developed in Jesus and Jazz. And, I mean, what do you think, man? I mean, this has been a good start offensively for the team. They started off okay in San Francisco and just went horrible, horrid. It was bad. And in Philadelphia, they just all of a sudden woke up.
Yeah, I think it's huge for this team knowing that they're not exactly homegrown guys. You know, they traded for each of them. But, you know, they did develop a little bit in the Marlins minor league system. And to have at least two guys that seem to be, you know, at least effective major league hitters is huge in Jesus Sanchez and Jazz. So that's a huge development for Miami. And then you know that Soler and Abisael are eventually going to get going. I know Abisael has looked, you know, a little bad lately in his first nine games with Miami, but he did homer on Saturday night. So it seemed, and he had the off day on Sunday. So maybe he's going to get things started. Soler hit one about 950 feet finally for his first Marlins home run. So I think this team, really, the offense could be a pretty solid force for the whole season.
And I'm glad they got their first homers, but man, I wish it was in one of the games that mattered just a little bit more, not the 10-3 loss to the Phillies when it didn't matter at all. But hey, I mean, they got their homers. Hopefully that gets them going. It gets the juices flowing there. So we talked about most impressive. Now, who's been the most disappointing so far, in your opinion?
You got to go with the left-handed rookie of the year runner-up, sophomore slump maybe, and Trevor Rogers. Trevor, I was at the start on Friday, I believe it was, It was Saturday. He could not get the strikeout. He was getting ahead of guys. He looked great at face rail muted to start the game, and then his velocity dipped significantly, almost immediately. So that was tough. He did have some bad luck on his side. A lot of the balls weren't hit very hard. I know the Bryce Harper 2-run double, you know, he got screwed on that one. But at the end of the day, he was not able to put guys away with his stuff, you know, not being as nasty as we've seen it in the past. But I think he'll be fine. He's not going to be as dominant as he was last year. I can tell you that right now. I did sort of predict a sophomore slump for him. But I think he'll be fine. Philadelphia, maybe there was a rumor that maybe he was dipping his pitches a little bit. As you guys see the photo of nice Jay Daniel out there. But I think he'll be fine. But I think most disappointing, you got to go with him. And maybe some of the veterans that we mentioned in Avi and Soler. Stallings, I think he's held his own defensively, so I'm not too worried about him. You know, they didn't acquire him for his offense, but he went 18 straight at bats without a hit.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Stallings. That picture is very scary. I don't know why. It looks like he's staring into my soul. But anyways, yeah, I think Trevor is the most disappointing. Another one that it's just fair to mention is Miggy Rowe. He did have a little bit of a bounce back series this time around, but those first two series, he was bad. It was really bad. He just couldn't get a hit off. And then defensively, the play that could have been it to win it all. I mean, not win it all, but go into extras. He bobbled it. It was simple ground ball play that was able to be thrown at home. There it is. He's flicking us off. He's flicking off the fans. So, you know, hopefully he gets it together. But I think Trevor is the fair pick here. I think we could both agree on that. Just simply because Trevor, we expected him to improve. Obviously, there's obviously the sophomore slump. But besides that, I mean, it's been weird. It's just been weird. And I think, you know, I'm going to go back to the impressive here. The whole Marlins bullpen, I mean, that's been pretty impressive. They've been able to hold their own weight. I mean, besides that first game with Bass and Bender blowing it, they've been able to hold it off ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few guys that I really have liked. I know Lewis Head hasn't gotten into as many games, but he looked great in the spring. I liked his one little outing. O'Kurt obviously has looked great. He did give up that big 2-run double in the home opener, which I had just called him, you know, Josh Hader to Jeremy Taché. And immediately after that, Bryce Harper takes him for a 2-run double. Which I think, you know, if Lewin Diaz is at first, that ball doesn't get by. But yeah, Bender, I think he's settled down as well. Anthony Bass has looked solid. The whole bullpen, like you mentioned, Kevin, it's been a really good staff, honestly, the entire pitching staff. So that's definitely something that is a positive.
And that ties into the next, I guess, portion, the bullpen itself. How do you think it's being handled? Do you like how it's being handled where they're placing each player at the moment with usually, I mean, Bender being the closer the other day in the 7-1 win or something like that on Friday. It was Castano, but you know, no need to play Bender there. I mean, how have you liked the management of the bullpen where each player has been placed at the moment?
I think it's been solid. I like the fact that there are like three, well, I guess with Castano down, there's three like sort of different type of lefties. You have Bleier with that sinker combination. You have Okert with that wipeout slider stuff. And then you have a guy with just strikeout stuff and Tanner Scott. So you have three different type of lefties that the opposing manager is going to have to, you know, think about when they have a lot of lefties like a Kyle Schwarber and a Bryce Harper. So I do like that. I like that Bass is being used in the seventh and eighth. I think that's the perfect spot for him. When Floro comes back, it's really going to lengthen this bullpen a lot. And like you said, Anthony Bender's been the closer. A little bit was off to a little bit of a rough start, but so far he's only blown one save. So they're good on that front.
And you mentioned Floro. Where do you see Floro when coming back? Do you see him more of as a setup man, or do you think they'll try him in as the closer? And if he's succeeding there, maybe then, okay, it's time to play Floro as the closer, Bender as the setup, or a closer by committee between both of those guys you platoon it?
I don't know. That's a good question, because I thought that if Bender was just, you know, being solid, rock solid, that, you know, Bender would Floro go straight to the eighth. But Floro does have the more experience being the closer. He was it for the entire second half of last season. He was pretty good at it. So I don't know what Don Mattingly is going to choose to do. It's going to be something to follow for sure. I don't know where they would go. If Bender had struggled maybe a little bit more, I think it'd be safe to say he'd go down to the eighth and Floro would get the ninth. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see a little bit more of Bender, because even Christina mentioned it to me, Christina De Nicola of MLB.com, that since the sticky stuff, he has just not been the same sort of dominance that he was in the first half of last season. So we'll have to see. But that's going to be definitely something intriguing. I'm very curious to see who will be the closer once Bender and Floro are both healthy.
And a player that's been very interesting, how they've been using him, is Cole Sulcer. We expected him to possibly be the setup or even the closer right away, but got no spring training action, obviously, you know. Just a couple of days before spring training ended is when they made that trade. But overall, they're using him the sixth inning, whereas he's been used the most. What have been your thoughts on Sulcer so far? I mean,
yeah, he's a guy that is not going to throw you overpowering stuff. He's got a good changeup. So far, he's pitched to a sub-2 earned run average. So that's good. He did give up a run yesterday with a couple of hits. But he's a guy that looks to me, he's going to throw strikes for the most part. He's going to be a reliable right-handed setup man for this team. It seems like that's how Don Mattingly is playing it out. I know he was using sort of a blowout yesterday, but he's a guy that Miami could probably depend on in the seventh, eighth inning of a game. If Floro is unavailable, Bender's unavailable, I think he would be that next right-handed man up. So he's going to be a very pivotal part of this bullpen for sure.
And not only that, I mean, there's obviously injuries. So bearing that, you would assume Sulcer gets the call, if anything, to close at least one or two games at most this season, maybe even the first half of the season, you'll get some closing opportunities. My favorite reliever so far has definitely been Steven Okert, though. The guy's just been dominant. I mean, looking at how he's done, I think he had, you know, in the four appearances, it was like six strikeouts, or it was vice versa. But he's been very good, very efficient for the Marlins so far. Your thoughts on Steven Okert?
Yeah, he followed up his decent performance on the home opener. He pitched again on Saturday with a perfect inning and a strikeout. And like Eli mentioned, this guy is not known to get many whiffs and many strikeouts, but he's done the exact opposite of that so far this year, and he's been really reliable. He does remind, obviously, without the pure stuff, but he can be the sort of that left-handed specialist type guy.
Transitioning a little bit more to the struggles that we mentioned at the start of Bisayel and Jorge Soler, I mean, Marlins Twitter is just going ballistic about these guys, saying how bad they are. And, I mean, if you had to tell these people on Marlins Twitter something positive about these guys and why we should wait. I mean, the guy, you know, Jorge Soler hit a 400-something foot homer. That was a bomb. Avisayo got a nice homer. You know, when I went on Friday, these guys were hitting just absolute bombs. They were raking in batting practice. So just any positives that you would take out of their season at the moment so far?
Honestly, I'm going to be honest. This is, you know, I know it's fish tries, but I'm going to be honest. There's not much positivity at all. Avi just doesn't look as healthy as I thought he would be. I know he had that lower back soreness. Nothing like a Christian Yelich situation, but that's what Danny Alvarez told me. But he should be fine. Maybe he'll get going a little bit. And Soler, I'm fine with him. He's going to be okay. I'm more worried about Avisail than I am about Soler, because Soler, he's going to be a streaky hitter. He's going to hit his home runs. He's going to hit his 25 to 30. But with Avi, he is just, you know, it looked like he was guessing at the plate the entire homestand, the entire road trip. It wasn't a good first impression for the Marlins' $53 million man, but I'm optimistic that he'll be just fine, and it'll be a formidable offensive outfield for Miami this year. I'm more worried about the third and fourth years of these of this deal because, you know, I don't think he's going to be someone that ages particularly well. So I am worried about the back end of this deal for sure, but we'll deal with that when we get there.
And we're definitely seeing it now. I mean, this guy, he's not been good at all. Defensively, it's been okay. It's been mediocre. It's not been good, but it hasn't been horrible. Like, you know, Brian Anderson, center fielder in spring training. So, and Soler, I think he'll eventually get better. I mean, he just hit a nice homer the other day. He's been actually producing a little bit more. Another one who we should be mentioning about early season struggles is Jesus Aguilar, who just hasn't been able to hit the ball as much as we want or even at all. What have been your thoughts on Aguilar? And then I want to tie this a little bit into Lewin Diaz, and you may know why.
Yeah, well, Aguilar, him and Avi Garcia do have a history of, you know, struggling a bit in April. Giancarlo Stanton had the same problem. A lot of these guys do get off to slow starts. And with the shortened spring training, I'm not entirely shocked that all of these guys, you know, are struggling. So the only thing Don Mattingly can do is just keep putting them in the lineup, putting them in those three and four spots respectively, and hoping that they turn it around soon. You know, Aguilar is one of the better hitters on this team. He really is one of the better pure hitters on the ball club. So I have no doubt that he'll get it going soon as well. And with, yeah, like you said, with Lewin, it's a shame that he's still at AAA. It's just, it doesn't make much sense that they did decide to keep both Aguilar and Cooper. Could have just chosen one, traded the other for some either bullpen depth or something else, maybe infield depth, and have Lewin as an everyday defensive first baseman, which would have really probably saved this team a lot of runs already. So we'll have to see how that goes and see how long Lewin Diaz is in AAA, because he was with the team yesterday just in case Aguilar or Cooper were hurt. But alas, he did not, you know, get called up.
Yeah, for a little more on that, he was there. Lewin did come down to Miami, thinking that either Cooper or Aguilar were going to be out for today's game. So you would have put them, I guess, on a day-to-day or something like that, and Lewin would have came up, something like that. But thankfully, no injuries on either of those guys. But, man, Aguilar's just been struggling. It's been bad. Defensively, he's been okay. But obviously, we all know Lewin's the best defensive first baseman on the current Marlins organization as a whole. You know, they like Cooper more at first, and we've noticed that because they've been playing him more than Aguilar at first. But, I mean, I don't know what really to do about it. If Aguilar keeps this cold streak going, you may have to look into maybe trading him, as we mentioned. I think prior to the season starting, we always said if you got to trade one of them, it would probably be Aguilar just because of the one-year deal. Makes a lot more sense to make some type of deal with that because Cooper just looks like he's built for that DH spot. A lot younger. I think if Eli would know this more, but does he have more years of control than Aguilar? I'm not sure, but I think, and you bring up Lewin, he has it all, defense, offense. I mean, the guy's raking at AAA right now. He has nothing to prove in AAA. So hopefully Aguilar could get it going, and maybe we'll have a more interesting topic to talk about next time. Yeah. But
The reason I assume that Aguilar would be the better person to move is just because I know they don't want to do this at all, but Cooper does have that teeny weeny bit more of, you know, defensive versatility than Aguilar. You know, Aguilar's stuck at first base. That's the only place he's going to play. So I did think that made more sense. I'm just curious. I do know Aguilar is definitely the better first baseman defensively, I think. You know, he's just a little bit more mobile. They're both big guys, you know, but I think he is a better first baseman. And they continue to – I think they've given Cooper more starts at first than Aguilar. So
yeah.
I don't understand that. That play that really stood out to me was that 3-6-3 in San Francisco during the one game on the road trip that they won. I don't think Garrett Cooper makes that play. Aguilar is a great defensive first baseman, and I think Cooper being at first has also cost the Marlins a lot of runs, you know, obviously on the defensive side. So that's I don't really understand what Don Mattingly looks for when he decides who's starting when. But if it were me, I think Cooper would be at DH every single day. You've seen Cooper get hurt already playing first base a couple times. So I'll have to ask Donnie that whenever I go back to the ballpark.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
John Birdie turned into a linebacker the other day and absolutely destroyed Cooper. So
yeah.
Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But I want to go into the minor leagues a little bit. And we just spoke about Lewin Diaz. I want to talk about, I guess a little bit of each team. What we could do these recaps on every episode since we don't do that much on the streams. So I want to talk about Jacksonville first, the Jumbo Shrimp. At the moment of the recording, they're 5-7. Anyone who's standing out to you, obviously Max Meyer has just been dominant. Peyton Burdick had a very good start. I think it was last night. Lewin Diaz obviously just hitting bombs and raking AAA. Anyone else you may want to mention in that category of the Jumbo Shrimp and their start so far?
You mentioned the three main guys. It's Peyton Burdick, who's gone off to a phenomenal start. It's Max Meyer, who 5 perfect innings in his last start. When we heard that he left the game with some sort of injury, I think we all got worried, and then we heard that it was a lower leg cramp. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So that's great to hear. And then Lewin, yeah, those are the three main guys. All three of those guys, in my opinion, will see the major leagues at some point this year, especially Max Meyer, and especially Lewin Diaz as well. This is his last year of having a minor league option. And so we will see all three of those guys. I think Peyton Burdick is really stood out. So maybe if, one of these guys continues to struggle, maybe he sees some time in a corner outfield spot or DH, but that would be in the second half of the season.
Yeah, Burdick has just been an on-base machine. Here's the video, which is also on the Fish Types YouTube channel, of Birdie just absolutely raking, getting on base, doing whatever he has to score. I think he got 3 stolen bases, if I'm correct. So, I mean, the guy's been raking. But another name in that team that just hasn't been spoken about because he hasn't been that good and has been JJ Bleday. What have been your thoughts on Bleday's rough start in AAA so far?
You know how I feel about the young Vanderbilt star. He just hasn't looked good. He's being overmatched by AAA. He was not good at all in AA either. I would have kept him in AA, just not for the fact that he's not ready for AAA. I think AA is the more difficult level, to succeed in. So I would have kept him there and have him face tougher competition. Same with Burdick, honestly. I think with pitchers, I'd like to see them in AAA, and hitters, I'd like to see them face AA pitching. So, but he's not even hitting AAA pitching, JJ Bleday, at the moment. So we'll see. That's going to be a big problem, because if they whiffed on that number 4 overall pick in 2019, that it's going to set the team back a tiny bit. So let's hope he turns it around as well.
2-2 count on J.J. Bleday to open it up. And Duggar's breaking pitch, a swing and a miss. Right over the top of it. The pitch was down in the zone. And Duggar fans Bleday. Here's the 2-2 from McGee. A swing and a miss. And down goes J.J. Bleday on strikes. 3-2 pitch. Half swing. He goes too far. Back to the breaking ball. Motes strikes out Bleday.
Charles LeBlanc, who's been very good so far. I mean, Alex Carver, Fish on the Farm, has been talking about this guy a lot, saying that he's definitely a guy who we could see on the call-up soon. I just don't know where you would put him. It would be maybe trade a John Birdie, but I don't see that happening anytime soon either. So that guy will probably stay in AAA. That's another one of those good Rule 5 draft picks that the Marlins had in the minor league portion of the draft. So Marlins maybe hitting on another guy there. I don't know if you've looked into those guys a little bit more.
No, just the one guy I have read, just because of how much Alex Carver tweets about him, is Charles LeBlanc. We'll see how we are in May and see how he's doing.
Yeah, now time to move on to Pensacola Blue Wahoos, who's a little bit of a slow start for them, 3-6. Pretty much the same song and dance. What have been your thoughts on the players so far? There's always, we have Griffin Conan down there. Paul McIntosh has been very good. Brian Hohen had himself a good start the other day. Anyone else you may want to mention? I know Hayden Cantrell, that first game, had a 3-run bomb to tie it up. He had a couple hits in there. He just released his lovely vlog, which was actually a pretty good one. I watched it myself. So your thoughts on that AA team so far?
Well, you can't talk about the Pensacola Blue Wahoos without talking about Paul McIntosh. That guy is he still hitting above 700? It's ridiculous how amazing he's been performing. But yeah, he was the main guy. I know Alex Carver loves him as well.
The ball fell in, and here he finds the open right side of the infield, grounding a base hit to the right fielder. McIntosh has a hit. 2-1, rip to left, hit well. Valerio going back. That ball is gone.
Paul McIntosh again.
Dashwood kicks and fires. And that's lined into deep right center. Teodosio, can he get there? No, it's off the wall and the game's tied. McIntosh is at second. He'll make a turn and go for third. The relay there is going to be not in time. They call him safe.
But other than that, I know there's a couple of relief options. I know Colton Hawk is on that team, and he's pitched somewhat decent. Yep. I think he's someone that may get a September call-up at some point. I just want to mention guys that Marlins fans might see at some point this year, and he's definitely one of them.
Is Jeffrey Yan down there too in Double A?
Jeffrey Yan is in Pensacola. He's another guy who is a bit on the older side. He was born in 96, so he's someone that maybe as well, if he's dominant, he could be another even dominant guy out of the bullpen. A lefty can throw pretty hard. And then another one who I like is Gerard Encarnacion. Obviously, we all know him. He's someone who, I'm going to be honest, I think he's going to be up in the major leagues, but with another team at some point, either this year or in 2023. I don't think he makes his debut with Miami. They just have so many guys like him, corner outfield guys with all the contract, 3 years and 4 years for Soler and Avi, respectively. He's not going to get a chance, especially with first base being taken over by Lewin and Aguilar. I don't see a spot for him.
Vancouver, yeah. Not only that, I mean, you look at the contracts, you thought that they weren't trying not to block minor leaguers like Burdick and Blade to come up, but they definitely did that with the contracts of Soler and Aguilar. More Avisaev than Soler, because Soler is a opt-out at the end of the year. And the way he's playing right now, it looks like he'll be opting into that deal. So unless things go extremely south, and you technically think of Soler's contract as a one-year deal, thinking he would be opting out of it, I mean, and I want to go back to this very quickly before we go there, because it's just been on my mind. Let's say things go south for the Marlins, and hopefully they don't. Soler could opt out any minute, or he could opt in. Would you look into trading Soler if he's just not good at all? The team, that's something that has been crossing my mind for the longest time. Would that be something that you would look into, especially knowing that the Marlins are pretty much thinking he's on a one-year deal?
Yeah, So that's the thing. As of right now, he's not on a one-year deal. He's probably looking into renewing his house here for another couple of years. So, whatever team would be interested in trading for him, they're going to know that it's not just an expiring contract, because it is a player option. So I think he's going to be here. I don't think they could trade him if they wanted to. We'll see, though. Maybe if he gets hot, if Miami is out of it and he has a hot June and July, it would be like a situation like last year where he gets traded. And maybe Miami could get something of value. And that would open up a spot for a Peyton Burdick. I'm not even going to mention Blade because of...
He's not going to go spot. Who else should we mention on this Pensacola team? I mean, our good friend, Victor Victor, yeah, the bad one. I mean, he's been batting number one overall. He's the bad one, yeah. Then Beloit. Beloit's been the worst team out of everyone here so far, but they have some nice players on there. Cody Morse, your boy. We also have Victor Mesa Jr. I think he's on that Beloit team. I may be wrong, but I think he's definitely the good one. So anyone else you may want to mention there that we could see, rising up in the minor leagues quicker, sooner rather than later?
One of the better pure hitters of the 2021 draft was Tanner Allen. He's on that team as well. He's had a couple of hits in the last couple of days for that team.
And here's the 1-0. Swinging a line drive into center, sending Frelick back. He's still on it, runs, and watches it bounce off the wall. Allen's on his horse. He's around second. He's going to try for third. The relay throw is not in time, and the throw gets away, but the pitcher Kelly is there to back it up. Baker deals. Ground ball to the hole at shortstop, through the hole. Rosario gets the wave around, and he's going to score.
Another one that's quietly been pretty solid is Federico Polanco. He's someone that I've been told to look out for. And, yeah, like you said, Cody Morrison, my boy, he was off to a dreadful start for a little bit. But he'll be fine. He hits. I'm not worried about him at all. And on the pitching side, Evan Fitterer really struggled in his one start. I know that. And Dax Fulton has been okay as well. Well, those are the two main pitchers. I know Zach King, Fish on the Farm, was tweeting about him the other day. He's got decent stuff. Also another Vanderbilt guy, if I'm not mistaken. So those are the main guys. No one else really. My favorite on that team is honestly Bennett Hostetler. I think he's on that team. And
he is.
Someone that I could see him conceivably getting a call up to Double A if he's really solid in the first half. But other than that.
Especially with McIntosh, how he's playing, he could be getting the call to Triple A. I mean, if Miami trades Nick Fortes, which I doubt, they better not do that. But you know, they traded Alex Jackson. Now you only have Nick Fortes there, and you may have some other catcher. I'm not sure who's on that AAA team backing up Nick Fortes, but maybe you get Paul McIntosh up there to AAA towards that time, and then Hostetler takes over. But, you know, we stuck for not mentioning Zach McCambly and Pensacola, but yeah, that's another guy on that team. Now let's go to Jupiter Hammerheads, where our next guest, Jose Salas, is on. Your thoughts on that team so far? Khalil Watson's been raking. Salas has been good so far. You have Ian Lewis there. Joe Mack is on that team. I think he's in extended spring training or something like that at the moment. But your thoughts on that team so far?
Yeah, you can't talk about this team without talking about Khalil Watson. This guy, I don't think you could have asked for a better start to a professional career than what Khalil Watson has done. He's hitting for power. He's striking out a little bit, not an alarming rate at all, but he is striking out. But he's hitting for extra base hits. He's hitting for power. He's getting his singles, his RBIs. He's drawing his walks. And Khalil Watson has looked phenomenal in Jupiter. I think maybe he sees high A at some point in the second half of the season. And then obviously, what a middle infield duo with him and Jose Salas. Just one of the better middle infield duos in all of minor league baseball, without a doubt.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the more exciting teams just because of that infield. I mean, in the outfield, there's not much. Pitching, there's not much.
Osiris Johnson, another middle infielder, who used to be. Now he's playing center field a lot. So, like, with Osiris and Jose and Khalil, one of my guys who I really like at the development camp, Christian Rodriguez, he doesn't have much. But he's got a sweet swing, and so I keep an eye on him anyway. But it's an okay team. But those two guys definitely take over all the fame.
And I just keep looking back at Pensacola, and we forgot to mention Yuri Perez, who hasn't been good. I mean, he hasn't been bad. He's been, I guess, humbled, you could say, in Double A. And then there's also George Soriano on that team. There's just players that just keep crossing my mind on that Pensacola team. That's definitely, I guess, the team to watch, although they've been off to a very struggling start. If you really want to look at minor leaguers that are on the cusp of the MLB, Jacksonville is the team to watch. Beloit's definitely been the dreadful team, and then Jupiter has been okay. I mean, they're at 4-5, so they're working it up. So I guess that's it, unless you want to talk about anything else here, Isaac.
Just got to remember, Yuri Perez, he just turned 19. He is at Double-A, which is a very tough level for any young guy. But the fact that he's there is just so great to see. And I think he'll be fine. You know, he did have, from what I read, he had some bad luck behind him as well. But he'll be fine. I'm very curious to see how he responds in his next Double-A start.
Payoff pitch on the way. Swing and a miss, strike three. Fastball at 96. And the payoff pitch, swing and a miss, high fastball, got him. 2-2. Lopez swings and misses, 94 inside. 0-2 on the way, swing and a miss. Foul tip into the catcher's mitt, a high fastball, got him.
I think that'll do it for us here on our portion of Isaac and me. From me and Isaac Asuit, we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace out and go fish.
We got to end it off right.